You're cultivating. You're either sowing to that which will expose you in shame eventually, or you're sowing to that which God will bless in ways that we couldn't predict. What side of providence do you want to be on?
Welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm Bill Wright, and on today's program, our teacher continues his series with the fourth message of a refresher on holiness. Don, what if someone has never experienced the holiness of God?
I would not start with seeking an experience, but rather start further back with an understanding in my mind. My friend, God's law expresses God's holiness. And you and I have a problem because you and I have broken that law, and God's holy justice demands punishment from us as a result. All of our lies, our lustful looks, the way that we've dishonored our parents, and all the other seven commandments, don't steal and coveting in your heart, all of these things are an expression of sin, and God's word condemns it all. That's why you and I need a Savior. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners just like you and me. And when he suffered on the cross, he wasn't simply dying to be an example or anything like that. Christ was satisfying the justice of God, which requires punishment at the hands of sinners. What Christ was doing was he was taking that punishment in our place so that we could receive the gift of salvation and righteousness in him. It's a wonderful truth. We only begin to really understand the cross when we're mindful of the holiness of God and the justice of God and realize that Christ was acting to save sinners like you and me because we could not meet what the law required. Only that understanding will lead you to Christ and his cross. But when it does, my friend, I promise you, Jesus Christ is fully able and willing to save your guilty soul. I encourage you to put your faith in him today.
Thanks, Don. And friend, there's more to learn as our teacher unpacks what it means to pursue holiness. Let's join Don now in the Truth Pulpit.
There's a sixth principle that I would bring out for you. Totally same basic principle, but a totally different side of the coin. If you were going to flip it and heads came up, the people of God, tails comes up, the people of the world. The people of the world. And how do the people of the world, how does your thinking about the people of the world motivate you toward holiness? Motivate you to avoid sin? Motivate you to be faithful to Christ and faithful to his people with your involvement in the local church? How does that help? Well, let's think about it this way. As the hymn goes, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. Why did God save you? God saved you in part to be a light to that dark world. This is, again, it comes back to the purpose of your salvation. Part of the reason that you exist is so that you would be a light to those who are in darkness. Now follow me with this. This is all so clear. It's all just so evident. It's like it's right on the surface. It's like there's these huge diamonds and these huge gold nuggets of immense value that are just right on the surface of Scripture. I'm not quoting anything from original languages to you. I'm not making complex theological arguments, am I? This is all simple, straightforward things that are right on the surface of Scripture. Look at Matthew chapter 5 with me. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, let's say. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, talking to those who were marked by the characteristics of the Beatitudes that he had been expressing in verses 3 through 12, speaking to his disciples, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. What's he saying here? He says part of the reason that you exist is to be a manifestation of the light of God to those who are in spiritual darkness. That those who are unsaved and bound in sin and blinded by Satan, spiritually speaking, would see in your life, in your words, in your testimony, light that would pierce their darkness. That's why you exist, is to be an agent, to be an avenue of the manifestation of the presence of God to them in a way that would be a testimony to their hearts. Now, think about that. What does that mean in the context of pursuing holiness? Pretty obvious, isn't it? When you think about people being lost in sin, headed toward eternal damnation, brothers and sisters in Christ, would you really embrace sin in your life? Would you really pursue a sinful course of action at this time in your life and injure your testimony to people who are headed to hell? Honestly, could you and I possibly be that selfish that we would, as it were, put a basket over our testimony and cloak our light in the darkness of sin so that others were not able to see the light as plainly? You know what your sinful life does? If you were to go out and get involved in wrong relationships and wrong behavior that would be a scandal if they were known, do you know what that does to the people in the world? You know what it testifies to them? It says, sin's not that serious and the gospel's not that important. Because if it were, you wouldn't be doing that. And so by your own sinful life, you diminish the urgency of the gospel to the unsaved people who know you. That's not too good, is it? Being rhetorical here. Who would step forward and defend that and say, this is justified? I am justified in my pursuit of sin. I am justified in my ungodly attitudes and behavior, even though I know from God's word that it diminishes the importance of Christ and diminishes the urgency of the gospel on those who are headed to hell. That's indefensible, isn't it? Well, realize that needs to inform the way that you pursue holiness and the way that you respond to temptation and your own bad attitudes and behavior. Those pockets of sin in your life. You just come to the point where you say, God, with the help of the Holy Spirit and with all of my might, I want to put that away and not justify it anymore, because even if I don't completely see it, even if I can't make a one-to-one connection with an unsaved person in my life conduct, I do not want to make it easier for them to go to hell and for them to think the gospel and that Christ is not important and urgent. You say, that's unthinkable. So you ask yourself the question as you're looking in the mirror before you go to bed, could I really diminish the gravity of sin by indulging in it myself? Because that's what you testify with your life when you allow unrepentant sin to take root in your life. You're saying, this isn't that big of an issue. Well, it is, though. You know, isn't that why Christ died? Isn't that why Christ left heaven above? Isn't that why he went to Calvary? Isn't that why he groaned under the weight of sin? Isn't that why he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me, as he hung on the cross? That's no light matter. The travail of the soul of the Son of Man was directly related to the sins of those for whom he was dying. It's not a casual matter. So you remember the people of God, you remember the people of the world as you contemplate these things. And all of this motivates you toward holiness. You know, the thing of it is, I'm ultimately going to give you 11 points. We've gone through 6 right now. And here's the thing about this. As you're thinking through the broad scope of what Scripture would say to believers and inform the way that we think about life and our affections and our priorities and what we love and what's important and what we shape our life around, here's the thing. Beloved, just one of these would be enough to orient you in the right direction. But do you realize when you start to add 1 and 2 and 3 and 6 and 11, the cumulative impact of this is where the real power of this is. It's everywhere you turn in your biblical thinking, you're confronted with that which turns you to holiness. And the reason, you know, I know that for most of you, your heart is drawn to the things that you're hearing. I know that because you're born again. It's the nature that God has given you. You are wired to agree with what Scripture says about these things, aren't you? Most of you aren't sitting here resisting it. You're agreeing in your mind. Well, it's because God has given you a nature that is like unto His holiness. When you were born again, God gave you a new nature that is wired to holiness. That's why this resonates with you. Well, recognizing that, take the opportunity to embrace the full cumulative impact of this and let it shape the affections and directions of your heart from this day forward until God calls you home to glory. Because everything you need to push you in the right direction is right here in God's Word. Let me give you a seventh one. I like all of these. I like this one as well. Point number 7, you know what you should think about when you're thinking about what am I going to give my life to? Am I going to give it to an earnest pursuit of holiness or indifference and spiritual mediocrity and tolerating sin? Here's one more thing that you need to think about. That's this. It's the providence of God. The providence of God should greatly motivate you toward holiness. Now, I love this one. There's just no escaping. God's Word comes in a sanctifying way, puts us in a corner and says there's nowhere else for you to go but to move forward in holiness. It leaves you no other option. The providence of God. Here's where this goes. God is sovereign over everything. And that means in His sovereignty, He is also omniscient. He is omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's everywhere present. He knows everything. And do you know what that means? It means that He knows your secret life as well. He knows the private aspect of your life that no one sees. And even more than that, He knows inside your mind. He knows every word on your tongue before you speak it. He knows the motions of your heart. And here's the thing. God will either reward you and honor you for your obedience to Him, or eventually He will expose your sin. One of the two. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. Keep your finger in Matthew, because we're going to come back there. Either keep your finger in Matthew or bookmark your current spot and come back to it on your iPad. I don't care. Me, I'm a book guy. Hard copy pages and that kind of stuff. That's what motivates me. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. But it's not anything against electronic stuff. I'm just a creature of my past, I guess. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9 says, "He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out." Scripture saying, you may hide your crookedness for a time, but it's going to come out. Why? Because that's what God does. He exposes sin. And whenever you see a prominent spiritual leader who's been found out to be a phony, God has simply honored Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. And those who have perverted their way by living an ungodly private life while standing in a pulpit of God, He exposes them and they bear the brunt of the shame and embarrassment. And for some, the loss of their eternal soul that brings to them. Now, with your finger in Matthew, flip back to Matthew chapter 6. We'll see the positive side of this. We saw the negative side. He who perverts his ways will be found out. Well, there's a positive side to this as well. And this is so precious from our Lord Jesus as He's teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. The whole passage, verses 1 through 8, should be exposited here, but we'll leave that for another time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 3, Jesus says, When you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus says, don't make a public display of it. Don't blow a trumpet and call attention when you're doing a good deed. Don't broadcast it on social media. Hey, you know what I did? Hey, look at my open Bible and my coffee here in this selfie picture. And you can see I'm doing my devotion. Jesus said, don't do that. Do it in secret. Because when you approach it that way, God will reward you. God in His providence will manifest these things. He goes on in verse 5. Says it's not just a matter of giving, it's about a matter of praying. Verse 5. When you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, by contrast, you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, where no one notices, where no one has any idea that that's what's going on. And what's the promise attached to that? Jesus says, verse 6, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You know, Scripture is filled with these kinds of things in the historical narrative. God exposed Joseph's brothers who sold him into slavery. God brought to light David's sin with Bathsheba, even though it had been hidden for many months. The prophet Nathan says, you're the man. Nailed him in that. And, you know, while the sin was covered up for a time, eventually it was exposed. And so Scripture gives you this picture of saying that a life of private sin will be exposed by God's power, by His omniscience, by His omnipotence, in ways that you could never anticipate. God will make it known. Negative side, positive side, Scripture says, God sees when you're righteous in private and in secret, and He will reward you. Promise from a God whose word cannot be broken. He sees what's done in secret, and He will reward you. Here's the question. As we're considering a refresher on holiness. Here's the question I encourage you to answer carefully. Which side of providence do you want to be on? Which side of providence do you want to be on? Do you want to sow toward that which would bring about God's convicting, exposing of sin to the disgrace of your soul and the dishonoring of the things that you said that you believed? Or do you want to be on that side of providence that is content to let God bless you in the way that He sees fit, quietly carrying on in the holy direction that Scripture points you to without regard to whether men see or not? You're cultivating. You are sowing seeds one way or another. You're either sowing to that which will expose you in shame eventually, or you're sowing to that which God will bless in ways that we couldn't predict. You're doing one or the other. And you just need to deal honestly with the question, what side of providence do you want to be on? Galatians 6:7 says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for a man will receive that which he sows. Galatians 6:7. And so, beloved, here it is. Here it is. As you're sitting here, God has brought you to a fork in the road. You're either pursuing that secret, private devotion and obedience and faithfulness, which is what I trust is true of the vast majority of you. But I don't know. I mean, God knows. I don't know. But if there are those of you that think that you're getting away with secret sin, understand wherever you're at a fork in the road now. Because God's Word has brought this to you so clearly. Here's the thing. You're at a fork now with a decision to make, with a heart commitment to settle in your mind as you go forward out of this room. You can either trust God's providence to bless you in your secret obedience, or you can trust God's providence to expose you in shame because of your secret disobedience. The choice is yours. Which will it be? But understand that the providence of God will not be trifled with. God will not have His holiness marked. God does not lightly bear along with hypocrites. And so, for your own good now, I'm just speaking on a purely human level as a pastor who cares about your life, your soul, and wants to see God's blessing upon you. That's the only reason I'm saying this at this point now. Wouldn't you want the anticipation of God's blessing rather than the certain expectation that He will expose you in your hypocrisy and sin? Take Him at His word that He will do both. And then ask yourself, okay, what do I want to give my life to? What do I want to devote myself to? Do you want to perpetuate the backbiting gossip that you whisper in people's ears? Do you want to perpetuate the cultivation of wrong thinking and lustful thoughts in your mind and perpetuate that, knowing that somehow, sooner or later, you think that no one sees, but God sees it. And He says, I will expose it. Why would you want to do that to yourself? That's not even in your own self-interest. That doesn't even make sense. That's like slitting your own wrist. Why would you do that? It's indefensible, isn't it? And it's not just that it's indefensible, it's irrational. And that's just incomprehensibly ignorant. And see, and that's the nature of sin, that it perverts your reasoning powers, and that's why you need God's Word to bring it up to you. But on the positive side, for those of you that are walking faithfully and you're persevering even though the winds of life are blowing against you, and you're being faithful even though you're not finding much support maybe from inside the walls of your own household. I know some of you are dealing with that directly. You're walking with Christ and people are critical of you and mocking you and asking what's wrong with you because they don't share in this life that God has given to us in Christ. Well, beloved, let your heart find profound encouragement right here. And realize that God sees your private obedience. For a time He might allow you to suffer the taunts of those who oppose you and mock you. But you just keep doing what you're doing with the certain expectation that God will bless you and reward you in the end. And don't give up. Because God promises. Jesus Himself said, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And beloved, don't back off of that. Don't step back from your current devotion to Christ. Stay in that so that you'll find out what that blessing is like. On the authority of God's Word, I can promise you that it will be better than what you think. And so you just walk out of here, those of you that are in those shoes, and you just walk out, you know what? I'm encouraged to continue on. God sees. God knows. Christ said He'll bless me. That's all I need. I have Christ's word. It's settled. I'm convinced to move forward. Undiminished, undeterred, unafraid. Because I believe my Savior is true to His word. That's a great place to be. A shelter in a time of storm. Our Lord Jesus and His promises to us. You know what? I'm going to stop there. I know this is not what they teach you to do in homiletics and seminary. You're supposed to have a nice, smooth conclusion. But I'm going to stop there. I want you to go out on that positive note. The next point is a little more difficult. I want you to go out on that positive note. I want you to go out contemplating the providence of God as you look into your future. As you're contemplating, you know, to truly settle it in your heart. What is it that I want to sow to? I'm planting seeds with my thought life, with my words, and with my conduct. What is it that I want to reap down the road? Obedience, faithfulness, loyalty to the people of God, loyalty to God's Word. That's what you want to focus on. That's what you want to direct your thoughts toward, beloved. Why? Because your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
So our prayer today is that in our short lives here on earth, we would have a heart that is holy before God and that is reflected in our thoughts and actions. Pastor Don Green has more of our series titled A Refresher on Holiness next time on the Truth Pulpit. Do join us then. Right now, though, Don's back here in studio with some closing words.
Well, hello, my friend. I want to thank you for listening to the Truth Pulpit. Thank you for being a student of God's Word. You are the reason that we do these things. We want to bring God's Word to you in a way that makes it alive and applicable to you and brings you into a deeper knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you've benefited from this broadcast, we just ask you to do a simple thing. Go to our webpage or go to our Facebook page. Look us up on Facebook and just drop us a little note, just a word that would let us know that you've appreciated today's broadcast or the other aspects of our ministry. We would love to hear from you. Thank you for listening to the Truth Pulpit. We are grateful to Christ for you.
Thanks, Don. And friend, be sure to visit thetruthpulpit.com to learn more about this ministry. Once again, that's thetruthpulpit.com. Now for Don Green, I'm Bill Wright. We pray you've been encouraged. Catch you next time for more from the Truth Pulpit.